Monsoon season can wreak havoc on your trees.
These trees are a travesty.
Shade in Arizona is prime real estate. Find out how to care for your trees. We're out in the yard with certified arborist John Eisenhower with Integrity Tree Service. Call 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
And today we're out in the Watson's Woods Riparian Reserve in Prescott, Arizona. The annual tree conference that the Arizona Community Tree Council puts on brings us up here every year. Last year we had a wonderful broadcast on the ridgeline above the champion juniper tree. That's the largest known juniper tree in the state of Arizona. Part of the Arizona Forestry Division's champion tree programs. That was a lot of fun. This year we're walking the Watson Wood Riparian Reserve. It's a 125-acre preserve that they're restoring the watershed. It used to go all the way into town of Prescott, stretching 4 miles, but some mining operations in the early 1900s kind of turned it into more of a what's described in their pamphlet as a wasteland. And they're working to restore that.
Yeah, but 25 years has done this place good. It's amazing. It's just so nice to see this right outside of town, having a natural area that's pretty much restored back to, you know, its pre-construction condition. It's just, this is what it's all about, is preserving and keeping some of these riparian areas around our state, you know, trying to keep these natural watersheds, which are such a
There's
natural...
There's some ducks.
And is that right?
Yeah, they just went over the trees, a pair of mallards.
There you go. See, these areas are such magnets for wildlife, and it's just nice to have a little bit of country right outside town, you know, a place where you can go and hang out and relax and unwind.
Right on 89A at Rosser Street. You can turn in. It's open to the public. Just park your vehicle and get out. You will see a map. If the Prescott office is closed, just grab the just look at the map and follow the trail. And there's a north loop and a south loop, and they're both we're doing the north loop right now. I've not done the south one, but it's about a 3/4 mile loop is what they felt like yesterday.
Yeah, we're up on the north loop now, just trying to exploring this for the first time. Johnny had that question about the citrus trees. Did he want me to
Absolutely.
Take a shot at answering that right
and
now?
And as we take care of Johnny's call, that'll open a line at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. If Johnny had a citrus tree, it was pouring some sap.
Some sap coming out. Yeah, this generally sap out of citrus trees is not a good sign. It's showing that there's some health issues. You know, there are other trees that exudes some slime flux and other things, which is not a threat to the health of the tree. But in citrus, it's pretty critical. Those little lesions on the bark that end up oozing out sap, it's generally gammosis. These are bacterial and some fungal issues that will cause that. But they're usually secondary problems. There are other issues, usually below ground. Often citrus that is buried a little bit too deep might have some issues underground. And then the infection will travel up the tree and find it'll express out of lesions in the bark. Pressure will build up and you'll get these outbreaks. Definitely something you want to take a look at. You can clean some of those up. There are some treatments for those, but usually we're trying to get at the root of the problem rather than treating the gammosis itself. So probably good to get a certified arborist to come by and take a look and give you some advice on treatment, some management protocols. I wanted to mention too that speaking of lesions and problems with bark, we have a lot of calls over the last several months and several years, but it seems like an acceleration this last year with damage to bark on trees. And I put out a little post on our Facebook page this past week and also in our newsletter, distinguishing between bird damage and rodent damage. We have a lot of bird damage. You'll see the little lines of holes that are punched in the bark of the trees, and that's a pretty good telltale sign. It's usually a sapsucker, often a Gila woodpecker, which they'll peck small holes in the bark. Some sap will emerge from the hole, and they'll drink the sap, eat the sap. It's a nutrient source for them. And then they'll sit on that same spot on the tree and just move a quarter inch to the side and tap another small hole. So you get these lines, these very symmetrical lines in throughout your trees. It can actually cause some pretty serious damage if it's allowed to go on for a long period of time over several years. It can damage a significant amount of the cambium. I think we mentioned last month that you can wrap those areas. But another really persistent problem with a lot of customers is where you'll see some bark that's shredded, actually big strips of bark that are torn off or actually eaten off completely. And we've noticed a lot of these, if you look closely, you'll see actual teeth marks on the bark where they're actually eating the bark and eating the cambium below, which is, again, it's a nutrient source for animals. We see this happening in other parts of the country by squirrels. But the most likely culprits here in the low desert are ground squirrels and the roof rats, which are more and more common in a lot of our neighborhoods. And they can do a lot of damage. They get up in the trees, and roof rats are nocturnal, so you usually won't see those during the day. But you'll see the areas of bark. One of our customers has had a sweet acacia tree, and the entire top of the tree, there must have been 50, 60 branches where there were areas of a foot long, 2 feet long, where the whole branch had been stripped completely. Well, of course, if you destroy the cambium, then everything outside on the extremities of those branches are going to die. So there are big areas of dead branches throughout the tree. And on closer inspection, we saw that they'd been girdled by this by some sort of a rodent. So we're actually going to be putting up some cameras so we can kind of catch the culprit and find out who it is. It might give us a clue as to how to trap and treat for those. But if you have any questions about any damage to your trees, feel free to give us a call today or check in with us on our website. You can go to itreeservice.com, go to the contact page, put in your request for, and even you can even attach a photograph and send that in to us too, and we'd be happy to kind of diagnose what you might be looking at in terms of the critters that are in your trees.
We appreciate the call, Johnny. You have a great Arizona weekend. Loretta is next on the line, who wants to talk about a nectarine. Do we have Loretta with us on the line this morning?
Yes.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So on my nectarine, it's about a year and a half. We planted it about a year and a half ago. And just in the last month, these little sap, I kind of heard what you were just talking about, that one disease or something. Sap, and it's killing all the leaves. They're just dead. What is that?
You know, these young trees that we have on these especially our stone fruit trees, like your nectarines and your peaches and your plums, are smooth barked trees, and unless you have a pretty protected environment, they're very susceptible to sunburn. I'm suspecting on a young tree like you've just described that it might not have made it through this pretty brutal summer we had. The sun can cause to burn those that thin barked cambium, and you'll see those little lesions and that emerge. There also could be, if it is a fungal problem due to the tree being planted too deeply, often the symptoms you've described occur when plants are too deep in the soil, and there might be a fungal pathogen has attacked the cambium of the tree below the soil line, and then we'll see those that die back above ground. But how old did you say the tree was again?
Okay, well, when we ordered the trees, they were planted by a tree company. I can't remember who it was. We got a plum, an apricot, and the nectarine. But the nectarine is in the far east-south corner of the lot, okay? Mm-hmm. And it is the most sun, and so it wasn't doing so well, so we put up a shade thing for it last year. Because it wouldn't grow. The other two are great, and this one just didn't want to grow. Well, then it started doing really good, and then this summer it got all those little saplings all over, and I was picking them off, and now all the leaves are just dead. So I don't know if we've lost it or...
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. I know just what you're describing with those little beads of sap that start emerging. Those, again, are a secondary symptom of another problem. Those are just the tree, responding to the injury to the sunburn or to the fungal pathogen. So you're just picking those off is not going to be helping. I would scratch the bark right where those are, where you're seeing those little areas of exudate. take your thumbnail or a small knife and scratch the bark near those. And it sounds like if the leaves have already died back, that the cambium is already dead on those branches, and they'll just have to be cut off. You know, if it's only out on the extremities too, and you still have some green leaves on the tree, you can cut back the dead wood back to the live wood, and hopefully, you know, rebuild the tree. So, I mean, you know, rebuild the structure of the lower foliage on the tree. We have seen some trees do pretty well by just cutting them back radically back to the good wood, and then that new wood will form a new structure, new branch structure.
From Santan Valley, we're gonna go south and a little west, pull into Dee's house in Rio Rico, see how we can help her with her mulberry. Good morning and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, guys. It's just another beautiful day in southern Arizona.
Yes, it is. Another day in paradise.
Yes, I have this mulberry tree that I planted about 3 years ago, and now it's gotten to the point where it should be pruned, I believe. And I wondered if there were specific timing and rules for that, because this is the land of the mesquite tree, so I don't know anything about the mulberry trees, really, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you calling, because with mesquite trees, the rules are pretty relaxed. You can pretty much trim them anytime you want. The mulberries are a deciduous tree. They will tend to lose their leaves in the winter. Is that one of the new fruiting mulberry trees?
You've got me there. There are some new depot shells.
Okay, well, there are some new fruiting varieties that are actually female trees that produce a wonderful fruit. But yeah, you should usually wait a little later in the season. Generally, December, January is a good time when the leaves are completely off, and the tree will have a short dormancy period here. And at that time, you can do some structural pruning. Those mulberries are quite fast growing. You can do some reduction if it's getting a little bit too rangy. Just be sure that when you cut your branches back, that you cut back to side branches that are at least one-third the diameter of the one you're cutting. That way the tree will push its nutrients into and support the side branch rather than flushing out a big flush of growth out of the end of the cut. So you can bring some of those rangier branches back in and kind of train that tree to have a little more compact form. I would discourage any pruning of the interior foliage on that tree for several years, because that secondary growth that emerges on the inside protects it from sunburn. It also helps to develop trunk caliper, taper development on the main stems inside the tree. And if you ever have to do any reduction of the pruning in the next few years, that secondary growth is kind of a supporting cast of new branches that can emerge to take the place of the ones you're cutting back. So, yeah, it sounds like a wonderful tree. There's a new Pakistani mulberry that is really quite popular, and people are putting them in as a fruit tree, and they're producing wonderful, wonderful mulberries that are edible. They look about the size of a blackberry. They're huge, and they're actually longer than like a long blackberry, and they're just great, nice,
and
table fruit.
There are restrictions in certain counties of Arizona that don't allow you to plant a fruiting mulberry, so make sure you check those out. One thing that I have that helps when trimming deciduous trees, it's hard to trim a tree when the leaves aren't on it, mm-hmm. because you can't see the full shade. So the ones I want to get rid of, I'll actually tape a little landscape tape on it, so that when all the trees are off, I know which ones I want to cut out.
Yeah, when all the leaves are
gone. Now it helps, because ours we have specifically for shade, and we want it to grow large. I believe we will go ahead and take a break here, and while we do, we're going to move up to Globe, Arizona, where we'll bring Shelley in next, and we've got Dave on the line as well. So we'll get to those calls right after this.